Welcome to Charity Therapy, the podcast where we explore the ups and downs of the nonprofit sector and answer your burning questions. I'm your host, Jess Birkin, owner of Birkin Law Office, and I'm excited you're here. Imagine hanging out with me and my super smart, funny nonprofit expert pals. You get to ask them anything about your nitty-gritty nonprofit life and get their wisdom for free. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just strapping on your nonprofit boots, we're here to share stories and remind you, you're not alone on this journey. So get ready to join the conversation and bring me the tough questions. I ain't scared. Ready to rock? Let's dive in. Hello, we are here for another episode of Charity Therapy. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Peter Farsad. Peter is the owner of Nonprofit Financial Acumen LLC. He teaches nonprofit finance to graduate students, and that's how I met him. He's my old professor and is amazing, and I learned so much, and I constantly am telling clients things that Peter taught me. So I'm very excited to have you here. And thank you so much for being here, Peter.
It is truly a pleasure to be back with you. We've been in touch off and on in the years since you were in class. Of course, you were like my very best student and my favorite student. So it's a real pleasure to be with you and to watch your success as you have propelled your law firm forward, serving nonprofits. Really a pleasure.
Well, I appreciate you saying such nice things. I'm sure you say that on all the former students podcasts. Oh, shoot. Okay. Before we get into the listener question, I actually have a question for you that came from a client like a few weeks ago. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. I should ask Peter about this. So like some nonprofits are required to have their financial statements audited by a CPA. And I'm wondering if you can explain in just plain English, the elevator speech, what is that audited financial statements requirement? What does that mean? And who needs to do it?
It's a terrific question. And it's one that would be state specific. But if we're talking about the state of Minnesota, if a nonprofit in Minnesota has revenues in excess of $750,000 in a single year, they are required to have a financial audit conducted by a CPA or CPA firm. That result, the resulting financial audit then needs to be submitted to the Minnesota Attorney General's office along with the Internal Revenue Form 990 and the Charitable Organization Report for Minnesota. If you're outside of the state of Minnesota, I would refer to your state attorney general's website and look at the state-specific requirements. This is something that is governed by the state attorney general. There's other audits. So there's federal requirements for audits, yep. And that's for nonprofits who receive $750,000 or more of federal funds in a given fiscal year. And this is called a single audit. It used to be called the A-133 audit. It is an audit that is not the same as the financial audit. It is a unique audit, which is basically tracking the federal funds throughout the nonprofit's financial reports to ensure that the federal funds were expended properly. And there might be some other requirements, for example, applying for state governmental grants. They might require that you submit an audit as part of the application process, and foundations might have the same requirement, but those are not legal requirements. You could choose not to apply for those monies. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's a great comprehensive answer. And I always find that this comes up with nonprofits that I'm talking to who are expanding and like often expanding their fundraising into multiple states, and they're bumping up against, oh, what is this state's? What do you mean we need an audit? What? Like they're getting caught out unaware. So a lot of times it's tied to your fundraising and whether you're entering into a state asking people for money. There's a great tool on the, I think it's the National Council of Nonprofits website, has like an interactive map where you can just click on the state you're wondering about and see their state requirements. And I always recommend that's a great tool for people. Because it's one of those things, you really don't want to find out the hard way that you should have had a very expensive audit that you weren't expecting or have not budgeted for. So that's super helpful. Okay, so let's get into our listener question. Are you ready? I'm going to read as if I'm the listener now.
Okay.
All right. I'm a development director, and I just got a new position at a nonprofit organization. This nonprofit has grown a ton in the last 3 years. Now they're bringing in about $3.5 million in annual revenue. At my old job, we'd often send out our certified financial statements to the big donors who were vetting us and considering making a major gift. I plan to do that here too, but the executive director seems really weirded out by that. I thought this was really normal or maybe even required for a 501c3. So what actually are the rules here?
That's a really a terrific question. And there's no one answer. I think that this is really a thought process. So if by certified financial statements, we're talking about the financial audit, I believe we are, there is no requirement to publicly share the results of the audit report. That said, I think that we're in an age where institutions are suffering the loss of public trust. And I think that sharing the financial audit on the organization's website is a way to demonstrate financial transparency. You mentioned previously the National Council of Nonprofits website. It is a rich resource for nonprofit practitioners. And one of the things that they state is that the posting of financial audit results on the organization's website demonstrates that level of financial transparency. They do have a publication out called Principles and Practices, Best Practices for Nonprofits. And in that document, it's a relatively short document, and it has links to most of the states in the United States in there that you can find some state-specific information. And the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits has a similar publication called Principles and Practices for Nonprofit Excellence. And interestingly, the Minnesota Council principles are silent regarding sharing the audit results publicly. And Minnesota, the Charities Review Council, maintains accountability standards for nonprofits, and they don't specifically endorse sharing the audit results. In my professional life, I've been in nonprofits for about 35 years. I retired from my last professional position at the end of this past year. I advocated for financial transparency and regularly posted the audit results on the website. I think that financial transparency for a public trust is essential and something for practitioners within the organization to be proud of, that we want to be transparent about our financial lives. And I think that major donors may well appreciate this transparency when deciding how to distribute their own
hard-earned funds. Peter, when you were at organizations and y'all posted your financial statements online, when I was in-house at Pheasants Forever, like we had our audited financial statement online, but it wasn't like front and center on the website. It was like someone asks to see it. This is the link where you would go to. Was your experience like that? Like it is available if someone is looking for it, or was it like more front and center, like in the drop-down menu about financials? Like how upfront were your organizations with posting that?
I wouldn't say that it was front and center. There's a limited amount of real estate on a website,
right?
And everybody is clamoring within the organization for some of that space. So I think that we had it in the philanthropy section. So you could go in there and you could locate it. But it certainly wasn't on the landing page when you logged onto the website. I don't know that it gets a lot of traffic. So I think the listener's comment about the executive director being perhaps nervous or concerned about sharing the audit result, the financial audit result, I'm not sure that very many people are actually going to crack the cover of it. It's a fairly dry, formulaic document. Assuming that they have an unqualified opinion, which is a good financial result, I don't think that there is anything super revealing. The 990s are easily available and contain far more detailed information. The sensitivity around salaries, for example, of the top five team members.
Talk about that. The executive director being weirded out a little bit. If you were this person and you were the new development director, and knowing what I know about development directors, it's a high turnover position with high expectations. I can hear One of the Peter Farstadisms that comes up for me all the time in my practice, because I deal with a lot of nonprofit problems, is like you would always talk about, oh, if you have like a finance person who like never goes on vacation, never lets anyone touch their desk, never, like these sort of like indicators that are just like an internal red flag of something's going on here. We don't have very much to go on in this question. But what's your sort of take on, if you're a development person, you're saying, I want to share the financials with our major donors, and your ED seems really weirded out by that, like how much does that start to prompt those thoughts in your mind of, should I be concerned?
Yeah, I don't think so. And by financials, we're still talking about the financial audit report, which is different than the monthly financials.
Yeah. We're not pulling out a balance sheet and an income statement for month end.
Yeah, that shows up in the annual report. So that's disclosed. And of course, the income statement and balance sheet is included in the financial audit. So I think if there is something untoward going on in a nonprofit organization, a financial audit is not the tool to recognize fraud. There are separate audits that CPAs conduct if there's any concerns of malfeasance. So assuming that you have an unqualified opinion in this financial audit, it's good to go. It's like a gold star on the forehead of the nonprofit of, hey, we know how to manage our resources really well. So I think it might be just something about change. It's something new. It's a new request. We've never done this in the past. I might do some research and go out to some perhaps like nonprofits, similar in mission or size, and see if they have their financial audits on the website.
Yeah.
And start to demonstrate a story for the executive director to perhaps increase their comfort level at doing this. The other thing that you could do is to have a conversation with the auditor, with the accountant who performed the audit, and talk about what do they know about how publicly available other clients make the fiscal audit.
Yeah, that's interesting. It piqued my interest. We just don't have much to go on here, but it could be. This is a new development director, and it could be they've never had a development director because the listener says they've grown a lot in 3 years and are just now hitting $3 million in revenue. So it's entirely possible this person is also the first development director. So this ED just, they may be even a little internally embarrassed that they never thought of that, or they weren't doing that. And now this person, they've always been like the chief fundraiser. And now this person's coming in and being like, I'm going to level us up. And that can bring in some ego stuff. So I like what you're saying about it might just be that the change is feeling awkward to the executive director. And if this person is brand new, they may just be bringing in best practices that people haven't been following because we haven't had time to develop our best practices.
And if the development director is new to the organization as well, there's a proving period as well where everyone gets comfortable with the new person's skill level and gains confidence. And so it might just be about the early tenure, and that to bring this request up again in a year, maybe with a little research of here's who else does what, maybe the answer will be an easy yes.
You can always wait until someone asks you for it, because your ED is not going to cry if the donor is about to hand you a check for 20 grand, but they'd like to see some of the financial information. That's probably going to go down a lot easier.
I would agree with you. I would be surprised if someone would be unwilling to give a potential donor a document which is really shows the inner workings of the organization and how well they're doing at it. It's a very important document, and certainly one that many donors are interested in.
And in the ED's defense, it can feel a little, I guess, like personal to have somebody, like when you are so intimately acquainted with your organization's financials, and the idea of, if you've never done it before, like showing here's all the things and maybe exposing yourself to criticism or just being a little bit like, oh, is that necessary? But it's a nonprofit. And it, as you said so eloquently in the beginning, it is. Even though it's not legally required, How are we going to get people to trust us if we're right. not willing to have that transparency and accountability with our donors?
And in the financial audit, there's always a few little demerits in there. They had to restate some journal entries or something like that. So there's a few little paragraphs in there that cite a few mistakes probably that were found as part of the audit. When you deal with thousands of journal entries and all that, of course there's going to be some errors in there. And so there might be sensitivity around that. The first time I put it on the website, I can't say that I was like totally at ease doing so.
Yeah, right. You
know? But the way I thought it through was we're a public trust and transparency is important. And there's nothing in the financial audit that I'm ashamed of. And so once I posted it, it went up every year.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Okay, so I think some of the key points here are there is no legal requirement to share an audited financial statement with anyone, really. If anyone wants your public records, they're going to get it on your 990, which is available in about 6 different places. But it is a best practice.
And I would do a little caveat. For example, if you've got federal grants, a part of the contract that you sign for the federal grant is you're going to supply the audit. So there might be funders that it is an expectation, but it's not a legal requirement, at least like we have legal requirements around the 990.
And we don't have any legal requirement to preemptively hand it out to our major donors, for sure. So like grant agreements, notwithstanding, like we don't have to show these things, but really the best practice is for transparency, for building that trust and for developing that relationship. And even as a tool for talking about what we're going to accomplish, what we have accomplished and what we're going to use that money that you're going to give us for. Audited financial statements can be a tool there. And it all of the like world-class organizations and accountability standard setting groups promote some kind of financial transparency. And I think as a new professional coming into a growing organization, one of the other takeaways I just want to get at is like finessing the internal fit and helping bringing people along with you instead of trying to jam it your way into their process, being able to do that research and show the story of like why this matters, how others are doing it, and building that internal trust is also super important. Because
I think of it as like you can't make a cat walk across the room.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta wait for the cat. And just as you said, doing the research, choosing the right time to talk about it, the careful finesse, as you mentioned. I think that's exactly very wise.
Yeah. Awesome. Peter, thank you so much for being here.
Such a pleasure for me to see you.
You're semi-retired from private industry, but now you are available for consulting. Isn't that right?
It is right. I had started a firm called Nonprofit Financial Acumen, and I'm going to be offering about 20 hours of self-study in nonprofit financial management, taking people who might feel very uncomfortable with the idea of even breaking open the topic, of getting them from the very basics all the way through reading and understanding and analyzing financial statements. And then I'm offering one-on-one coaching. And what I'd really like to do, since I've been in very large nonprofits, I'd like to really focus on community-based nonprofits and assist some of the leaders doing some of the most important work in our community and being a kind of behind-the-scenes financial coach. That's what I've been thinking about.
That's amazing. If you are listening to this and that sounds remotely interesting to you, you should totally check Peter out, because I will say he is one of the best teachers that I've ever had. And I will like absolutely shill for you any day. So you can find Peter Farstead at nonprofitfinancialacumen.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating, share it with a friend. If you've got a new development director who's struggling to get their organization onto financial transparency best practices, let them know this episode exists. It really helps us out. And if you have a question or a story to share, and if you have a financial topic, send it to us. We'll have Peter come back. head over to the website charitytherapy.show. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, y'all.